Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
So it's ramping up now. It's ramping up, baby. Jeff Darlington, quote, "I am now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England." Darlington's a legit guy, been covering this league for over 15 years. The buzz around the combine, I'm told this morning, this is official. I've been on the phone. Tom Brady's leaving New England. Another report from the Boston Herald. The Patriots have not reached out to Brady. Okay, so let's just go here. Instead of worrying and debating, is he staying? Is he going? We've done that. I'm not interested. Let's just put a checklist down of the five things we know that matter for Tom. O-line. He's not going to a crappy O-line. Peyton Manning talked about that when he went to Denver. Okay, he's an older quarterback. You got to have at least a top 10 O-line. Weapons. It's the primary complaint he has in New England. Get me guys who can stretch the field, playmakers. Head coach. He wants a winner. He wants a winning head coach. Division. You'd prefer not to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year. Let's not kid yourself. You really want to go to the NFC West? Not like any team would want him there, but you'd prefer to have, you know, let's be honest. He's benefited greatly from being in the AFC East, the NFL's most dysfunctional division outside of New England for 20 years. And then finally, branding. He's got the biggest brand in the league. TB12 is a seven-figure brand. You know, you're not going to throw him into Jacksonville. So O-line weapons, head coach, division, branding. Now, you have all lectured me. You have all mocked me when I bring up the Dallas Cowboys. They are the only team in the NFL that is 5 for 5 on that checklist. But again, you have told me O-line, best in the NFL, weapons, lots, head coach, McCarthy, a Super Bowl, division, outside of Philadelphia, a lot of dysfunction, branding. Oh, good God. The branding's incredible. Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, would vomit in his limousine if he heard this morning Brady was going to Dallas. It would knock the NBA off television for 6 weeks. But you told me that doesn't count. So let's go to the other organizations. Let's go to the LA Chargers. That's being thrown out, and I've been told Dean Spanos will kick the tires on it. O-line, team weakness. Weapons, very good. Head coach, unproven. Division, no thanks. Mahomes and Andy Reid twice a year. Branding, they don't have any. That's about a star. So Dallas is 5 out of 5. They're 1 out of 5. Let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders. O-line, it's not terrible. Head coach, Gruden's a winner. Weapons, one running back I like. Division, again, Mahomes twice a year, pass. Branding, weird fit on branding. Tom's corporate. They're the rebels of the NFL. I don't like the branding fit at all for Tom Brady, who's all about health. Who's all about corporate? That's not what the Raiders are. All right, who else you want for me? How about we go to the Indianapolis Colts? O-line, unbelievable. Weapons, Ebron's leaving town. Running backs, good, not special. Head coach, I'll give you half a star. I think Frank Reich is becoming a winner, but he wasn't a winner last year. Division, absolutely, a lot of dysfunction. Branding, you know, I'd argue the branding is Peyton Manning. He's got a statue out front. All right, I'll give you 2.5 stars for that one. Who else we got? Tennessee. Tennessee's interesting. O-line, certainly good enough, ranked 8th by PFF. Weapons, superstar running back, interesting receivers. Not great. I'll give you 0.5 star. Head coach, Mike Vrabel's won since he's been there. And this year, he stunned the world. Division, again, a lot of dysfunction. Branding doesn't exist. Titans don't have a brand. It's a college football territory. So I give you 3.5. And I'm told that's the favorite. You cannot tell me Tom Brady be cheaper than Dak. Jerry's the best marketer in the NFL. No state tax, celebrity market. More billionaires in Dallas than LA. Did you know that? It's a money town. I'm not saying it's happening. You have lectured and mocked and told me there's zero chance. All I'm saying is a lot of stuff makes sense. Only franchise in the league. O-line weapons, head coach, division branding. And Jerry Jones loves to be talked about. This would be A-Rod to the Yankees on steroids, LeBron to the Lakers on HGH. He even looks right in the uniform. It even looks right in the uniform. So you told me it doesn't. You have lectured me and mocked me. He would be cheaper than Dak. Marketer's dream. Jerry literally, Romo on CBS, Aikman on Fox, Michael Irvin on the NFL Network. Jason Witten went to Monday Night Football. He likes to be talked about. I'm getting Dak fatigue. Aren't we all kind of getting Dak fatigue? Brady is a new star and a new story. But again, told there's zero chance. So little old me, zero chance. The only one you go 5 for 5, that's all I know. All right, let's go to this. Joel Embiid, MRI this morning. He's hurt. In the last 2 weeks, I've had social media Joel Embiid of the Sixers, Instagram exchange with Jimmy Butler. I've had spectacular Joel Embiid, 49 points. I've had Joel Embiid has an MRI today, and emotional Joel Embiid, he flipped off a player. So in 2 weeks, I've got a fine, an amazing game, a stinker game, an injury game. Welcome to Joel Embiid. You get fired in the NBA as a GM and a head coach if you drive to the arena and you do not know what you're getting from your star or best player. You get fired. Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, two of the greatest forwards I've ever seen. Some winning years, some great years, some average years in terms of team, mostly Spurs great years. You knew what you were getting every night. Every night when you drove to the arena with Duncan and Kevin Garnett. Rasheed Wallace, I covered him. Deep down, I think he's more gifted than both. Go ask Duncan and Kevin Garnett who they hated facing. Sheed. With Sheed, you never knew what you were going to get. I covered him. If you needed 30, he'd give you 20 and get a technical foul and get thrown out. If you needed 8, he'd give you 37 and be spectacular. He's a nice guy, by the way. But Embiid and Sheed was just fun. And there's a theory in business. I was told this years ago, and it makes so much sense. If you're in a very serious business, law, tech, politics, having a sense of humor goes a long way. Reagan and Obama had really easy senses of humor. It's endearing. If you're in tech, in law, in politics, these are serious, heavy, daunting businesses. Lighten up a little bit. It'll go a long way. If you're in fun businesses, get serious, because few people are. Comedy. You want to know who got rich? Bill Maher, Jon Stewart, Steve Harvey, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock. They're serious people in the business of laughs. Basketball's a fun game. You go to basketball, you cheer, you have a cocktail, you take a date. Basketball's fun. Look at players who never achieved to their level. Dwight Howard, goofy guy. Blake Griffin, stand-up comic. Rasheed Wallace, Joel Embiid, Shaq. They doubled down on the fun. Look at the people in the fun game of basketball who have been serious. MJ, Kobe, LeBron, Bird, Duncan. They left nothing. They squeezed every ounce out of the business. When you're in a fun business, take it seriously. When you're in a serious business, lighten up. Embiid's doubling down on the fun. I see a lot of Blake and a lot of Shaq and a lot of Sheed and a lot of... Get serious. Get serious about your diet. He doesn't even look in shape half the time. Get serious about your diet. Get serious about your game. Get off Instagram. That's why I've said before, I'll take the 6'10 point guard who gets the ball to shooters over the hysterically funny, and I don't know what I get when I'm driving to the arena as a GM and a head coach, Joel Embiid. Nice kid. Great talent, fun game. But I have watched coaches get run out of jobs. When you're driving to the arena, what do I get from my best players? Just coaches just end up, I've seen a lot of coaches get run out of the league. The guys that don't, You know, Brad Stevens is starting to find when he drives to the Celtic game, he's getting like 28 from Jason Tatum. He knows exactly what he's going to get for the next 8 years. So Joel Embiid is hurt again. This is who he is. I got no idea what I get. Great, bad, fine, flipping off, hysterically funny on Instagram, greatest night of the season, hurt. I don't want to go that way. I've just seen that my whole life. Fun guy in an already fun business never gives me the most of him. Always leaves a lot on the table. Wish him well. Hope he's not hurt. Super talent. Funny guy. Good for the league. This is why I'd choose Simmons over Embiid.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tom Brady, according to now Jeff Tarlington, shocked if he comes back to New England. Other reports today, New England has not contacted him. Another report from the Combine, I am told, is he's looking. Tom is excited, and he is looking forward to free agency. So here's the thing. Even if Tom left, Colts, Chargers, wherever, folks, this is not going to be Shaq to the Celtics. We've seen Michael Jordan play with the Wizards, and we've seen Joe Montana end with the Chiefs. It didn't affect their legacy. I've always believed that your brain, to some degree, protects you. That I grew up in the rain in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up on the coast of Washington State. It is the wettest spot in the continental United States. I grew up next to the wettest city. We used to have to go into showers at halftime of football games because it was all mud to just put the hot water on. It was cold, driving rain starting in about October. I don't remember. Outside of the football games, I don't remember it. I remember the sunny days in the summer. I don't remember rain. I don't remember it. I remember a couple football games. Why? Because I think your mind protects you. Your mind's trying to be optimistic. I'm not saying negative things don't affect you, especially if they're physical. But our mind wants us to remember the good Michael Jordan and the good Joe Montana. And the media generally shows us the good. And so we get over and over and over reels and discussion and talk of the good times. We tend to remember the good times. They're never as good as we remember them. They've done studies on this where people, the memories of your childhood are greater than the reality. Most of the time you were bored as a kid. You didn't have tech. You didn't have cable. You didn't have the internet. You 50-year-old guys, your childhoods were mostly boring, but you remember the one trip with your dad to the beach, or the one trip to Hawaii, or the one trip to the mountains. So I've seen Shaq end up on 13 teams. I've seen Akeem end up to the Raptors. I've seen Patrick Ewing end up with the Sonics and the Magic, Orlando Magic. I've seen Emmett Smith end up with the Arizona Cardinals. That's not where my brain takes me. It doesn't matter where Tom goes. Tom's going to go somewhere. Let's say he goes to the Chargers. He'll go 9-7. He's not going to beat Mahomes. He's not going to beat Kansas City. He'll go 9-7, may get a playoff berth. He'll go for a couple years. He'll chop it up in Tennessee. He'll chop it up with the Chargers, Colts. Tom is going to pick a place that's fit for him. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He won't be as great 3 years ago with New England. He's not going to beat Mahomes in Kansas City, but Tom will be fine. New England will not be. They will not be fine. They had a succession plan. Robert Kraft got rid of it. They sent Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco. It's Jared Stidham and Andy Dalton. New England's defense is old and getting expensive. Their offensive line doesn't have a Pro Bowler. Their weapons, no tight end, no go-to receiver. Add Andy Dalton. Add Jared Stidham. Don't kid yourself. Coaches matter. Andy Reid extracts every little ounce of talent out of Patrick Mahomes. John Harbaugh is clearly helping Lamar Jackson. Nobody would deny Belichick's great. Losing record without Tom. Two teams. New England, Cleveland. Losing record without Tom. They don't have a succession plan. And nobody in the AFC is going to let them trade picks and move ahead of them to get a quarterback. Not going to work that way. They're like the Lakers. If you end up being good and LeBron chooses you, great. We're not helping you get there. We're not helping the Lakers. We're not helping the Patriots. So, you know, we can all talk about, oh, Tom, he's going to have to sacrifice. What's New England's plan? That division now is legitimate. Buffalo's a real team with a real coach, a real GM, and a real roster, and what appears to be a really talented young quarterback. I think the Jets have a lot of talent. If they can solve their offensive line, they finally got a grown-up general manager. And Miami's rebuilding, and I love what I saw from their tank, no tank job last year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, Greg Cosell is joining us from the Combine. It is always great to have Greg Cosell on 40 years NFL films. So, Greg, here's what's interesting about combines and drafting. We know, Greg, that a third of the first round will either bust or not be as good as we think. I mean, that's generally, there's a lot of hype with this combine stuff. So when you look at this first round and compare it to other first rounds of note that you remember, is it more talented, less talented? How does it land for you this combine, this draft?
Well, I don't know who's going to be drafted in the first round, so that's a tough question to answer. You know, I think you're going to see there's certain position groups this year that are strong. I think wide receivers strong. Quarterbacks always get taken for obvious reasons. Sometimes quarterbacks get taken, as you well know, Colin. A team might have a quarterback rated the 40th best player on their board, but they need a quarterback and they take him 20th in the draft.
Right.
So we know how that works. But, you know, I don't know who's going to be drafted where. My guess is Joe Burrow is going to be the first pick in the draft. I think that's probably pretty clear.
Yeah. I talked to an NFL general manager on the East Coast last night who I respect. He said, listen, a lot of these commentators are making him out to be John Elway and Peyton Manning. He's like, you know, he's closer to Tony Romo or Kurt Warner. He could be a very good player. They said he's a very good prospect. They didn't classify him as a great prospect, but a very good prospect. Is that how you see him? What does the tape tell you?
Well, I think the reason they would probably say he's a very good prospect, not a great prospect, is because he lacks one thing, and that's high-level arm strength. Then you can have a discussion as to the relative importance of high-level arm strength. But other than that, I think he has all the needed traits. They show up on film. He's very poised. He's got great vision. He sees things. He throws with timing. He's very good in the pocket. He's really accurate. His ball placement's precise. He can get out of the pocket and make throws and move. So to me, he's a higher level prospect with every trait but high level arm strength. And then we can debate what the value of that is in today's NFL, where the passing games seem to be shorter and shorter every year.
Now, last year at this time, he would not probably have been considered higher than Tua if you went a year ago before the LSU season started. So did he pop late, or was Tua always a little overvalued in your opinion?
Well, again, I can only tell you what I think of Tua. I can't tell you what others think of Tua. I think Tua presents as a good athlete, not a great athlete, who's an efficient executor of a well-schemed passing game. If Tua, for me, is to reach his NFL ceiling, I think stylistically he'd have to play like Drew Brees. He'd have to be an efficient, precise pocket passer playing with high-level timing and rhythm and ball placement. He's not a great athlete. He's not Russell Wilson. He struggled to get away from college defenders when he moved, so he's certainly going to struggle to get away from NFL defenders. So I don't think Tua is the same level of prospect that Burrow is. And there's one thing about Tua that I'm a little bit concerned about, is he showed a tendency to climb the pocket when it was not necessary, and he would move into the bigger bodies, and he's 6 feet tall, and that's going to have to be cleaned up.
Oh, good stuff. Have not heard that. Justin Herbert, it seems to me every time somebody talks about Justin Herbert in the last 2 weeks, they like him less and less. The knock I heard from two scouts was he doesn't do anything off script. It's a little Ryan Tannehill. Big athlete, strong. You can design stuff for him. Give him protection in a running game. He's fine. There's not a lot off script. His accuracy can be hit and miss. The more you see of Herbert, do you like him more or less?
I would agree with the accuracy being very erratic. I don't think he has a natural sense of timing and anticipation. I think he's what I call a see-it, throw-it quarterback. So I think there's some definite concerns about Herbert. I don't think he has very good pocket movement. Now, he can run out of the pocket. He's very athletic for a man that size, but I don't think he navigates the pocket particularly well. So, yes, I think there are legitimate concerns about Herbert, but again, more than likely someone might fall in love with the fact that he's 6'6 and an 8, 227 with a big power arm and very good movement ability.
Yeah. I watched Jordan Love's sophomore tape, and then I watched his junior tape, and his junior tape's got a game against Air Force when he's dreadful.
But yeah, he was bad.
Bad. But then I watched some sophomore tape, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of – he's a little loose, but, Lord, there's something there. What do you do when I like a guy as a sophomore more than I like him as a junior?
Well, but his traits are the same. That's the thing. So you have to look at the traits and the attributes, and I think he'll be a fascinating evaluation. I think he's an intriguing prospect, maybe the most intriguing of the higher-level guys, because he's a higher-level arm talent. He can throw with velocity. He can throw with touch, and he's a ball distributor. Herbert's not a ball distributor. Love is a ball distributor. There's a rhythmic feel to when he's playing well. He's certainly got mobility. He definitely has higher-level first-round traits, and then people are going to have to decide how he can be coached. He needs some lower body work. I met his
yes.
coach out here
yeah.
who's working with him a lot on his lower body mechanics, so his base is firm all the time. But he has better traits than Tua. That doesn't mean he's a better quarterback or will be one, but he has better traits.
Jacob Eason, to me, he's the easiest guy. He's a little Flacco, big arm, big kid, but boy, if you give him a muddy pocket, he's in trouble. He feels like 7 years ago, we would have all fallen in love with him. I don't know
That's a great point. Yeah.
I don't know if he's built for today's NFL. He's the easiest one for me to evaluate. Is you better have a good O-line and you better have a running game. Your thoughts?
Well, it's funny. I think your point's 100% right, because I think he's the kind of guy that is going to be a litmus test for how the league views these kinds of quarterbacks now. Because even though he's not quite a statue, he will succeed or fail based on his ability to play from the pocket. And he's obviously a high-level throwing talent. The ball just jumps out of his hand.
Yep.
He's a natural thrower, but he's not going to move very well. You're going to need to protect him. You're 100% right. I mean, you think back 15, 18, 20 years ago, I don't think he's as talented as a Carson Palmer, but he's in that mold of
yeah.
quarterback. And Carson Palmer was the first pick in a draft and a consensus first pick in a draft back in 2003. So Jacob Eason will not be a first pick in a draft, but I'm anxious to see how the league sees that style of quarterback right now.
Okay, it's supposed to be the best wide receiver draft ever. So some people were saying the other day I'm crazy. I think Jerry Jeudy is a first-round wide receiver. When you have a loaded draft at a position, I'm always reluctant to think I'm going to go get somebody in the first round. I think the second, third, and fourth round, there's all sorts of really good college wide receivers. I think Jerry Jeudy is special. Jumps off the page, has for 2 years, route running speed. Okay, CeeDee Lamb is very good after the catch. Nobody would deny in that Oklahoma system he's remarkable. I read something yesterday. Somebody said, I like CeeDee Lamb more than Jerry Jeudy. I don't see that. Do you?
No. In fact, I think it's Jerry Jeudy and everybody else.
That's what I think.
I think he's the best wide receiver prospect in the class. He's explosive. He has a subtle understanding of route running, a very advanced, refined feel for it, which is rare for a college wide receiver. In fact, I wouldn't, and again, I'm not normally a guy who makes lists, as you know, but if I had to make a list, I would not have CeeDee Lamb as my number two. I would actually have Henry Ruggs as my number two.
Yeah, the burner. He'll go to Philadelphia, perhaps. Yeah, the burner. That Ruggs can really – it's nothing against CeeDee Lamb. Looks a little thin to me. Saw him get beat up a little bit. I think he's great after the catch. I think he's going to be a nice pro. I'm hearing all these Jeudy and Lamb are the same guy, and I'm like, that's not what my eyes tell me.
No, I don't think they're the same guy. I think Lamb is going to be either a slot guy or a movement Z. I don't think he's an X, single receiver to the boundary. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's good after the catch. I think he had about 6 plays where you go, oh, my God. But I don't think that he's going to make a living as that kind of player in the NFL. He's not a sudden explosive athlete, and I'm fascinated. Not that 40 times matter, because sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I don't think he's going to run a great 40, just my personal opinion. And I'm very anxious to see how people feel about that. When my sense is he's going to run over a 4.5, but I could be wrong.
God, I just love Greg Cosell. 40 years NFL Films. When are we going to get you out here to L.A. and sit in our couch, our chairs? Are that coming
up? I'm ready when you are, Colin. I'm ready when you are. It's a very comfortable couch. I like it. I'm ready when you are.
great talking to you, Greg. Greg Cosell, good stuff.
Thanks, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Houston, now. I watched the Houston Rockets play for about an hour last night. They're playing very well. They crushed like Memphis last night. Played very well. Watched Westbrook had another very good night. I've always said two things about Westbrook. He is a great athlete, perhaps the best athlete in the NBA. Always said that. Secondly, I think his style works much better in the regular season, where you just can't meet his athleticism and energy on a Tuesday night, than it does in the postseason, where I get to play him six times in 2 weeks and I can marginalize him. Right now, everybody is on Houston. Every Slam magazine, pom-pom waving NBA fan. Oh, my God! You want me to forget 12 years of Russell because of 9 games without Clint Capella. I can't do that. Okay, Westbrook isn't shooting threes now. Why? Because they traded Capella. It opens up the floor, and he's great at the rim. And his energy on an average NBA regular season night when, you know, he comes in, he plays hard every possession, every night. Not everybody in the NBA does. He overwhelms people with his athletic ability and his energy. But in the NBA playoffs, everybody's equally rested. Houston is right now kind of playing small ball, and everybody, like the Baltimore Ravens, during the season, they're kind of adjusting to what they're doing, and it's very hard in the middle of a season to adjust to a team that small. Everybody's kind of struggling. The first time you see them, you're like, the Lakers played them, and they were, you know, they tried to get small, then they tried to go big, and the Lakers were confused. Remember, Houston came in and beat the Lakers, and the Lakers couldn't figure it out. When a team does something new, teams, Baltimore Ravens did it this year, is that there's about a 9-game stretch. People are trying to figure out the Ravens' offense in the middle of a season. And then at the end of the season, San Francisco played them kind of straight up, and then Tennessee played them. And by the end of the season, people kind of figure out what they are. In the playoffs, you have a bye, you have extra time, the games are more meaningful. Westbrook was shooting 6.5 threes a game in January. He hasn't changed. The opposition and the game has changed for him in this 9-game stretch without Clint Capella, 8, 9, 10, whatever games it is. But he's still Westbrook. He would shoot threes if there's a rim defender, which the Lakers will have, which the Jazz will have, which Denver may have, which certainly Milwaukee would have if they ever made it to the finals. So you're asking me to watch 9 games of Westbrook or 8, 9, 10 games since Capella left and say, this who he is. He will not shoot threes. Yeah, he will. When the rim isn't a place he can finish in the playoffs, he's going to go back to shooting shots he shouldn't shoot. He's a great athlete. I think he's a wildly entertaining regular season player. But there are players in this league that have not fared as well in the playoffs. James Harden's a great example. Why does James Harden not work as effectively in the playoffs? Because the refs swallow their whistles. He doesn't get to the free throw line. You saw it last year. You saw it the year before. Refs were like, no. We'll give that Tuesday. We'll give you that against Orlando at home on Tuesday. We're not giving you that against the Clippers and Kawhi and LeBron, and we're not giving you that. We're not giving you the friendly whistle. It's the playoffs. So when refs swallow the whistle, Westbrook doesn't get the foul calls, doesn't go to the line, gets frustrated, starts taking worse shots. James Harden doesn't get the call, can kind of zone out, gets frustrated. This league, there are some guys that are built for the playoffs. Kawhi likes physicality. He's good in the playoffs. LeBron can handle physicality. He's good in the playoffs. Duncan can handle physicality. Michael Jordan. These guys liked physicality. They had no problem. Magic was a 6'8.5 point guard. You could bang on Magic. He was good with it. Not all guys are as comfortable with that physicality. Kevin Durant, big, long, can handle you bumping him. He's a very good playoff performer. Harden and Westbrook have not proven to be.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, Chris Jones, 4 years in the league, already been a Pro Bowler. He was a 5-star recruit, went to Houston, Mississippi. So it's confusing. Are you from Houston? Yes, I am. And then you ask a few more questions and you realize that's the name of your town in Mississippi. You went to Mississippi State. Now you're a star in the NFL. For the record, before we get into your life and your career, you went to college with Dak Prescott.
I did.
Did you ever think he would be a star in the NFL?
I did. Dan Mullen is a quarterback's coach.
Yes.
Look at the amount of guys he had. He started with Cam Newton, Tim Tebow. And then you go on to Dak Prescott. just those guys right there and how he was able to kind of hone those guys to be NFL caliber quarterbacks.
And Dak's got certain skills. Dak's like a guy's guy, right? Like guys like him.
Yeah, he's a leader. He's definitely a leader. From his work ethic and his leadership ability, the way he leads.
So you go top of the second round of the Kansas City Chiefs, and sometimes falling a little bit in the draft by a few slots gets you to a better team. So you fall into Andy Reid, and the Hunt family is amazing, and Brett Veach. These are top people in the NFL. So you get to Kansas City. When did you start figuring out? Okay, because you got there before Mahomes. When did you start figuring out, listen, this has a chance to be really special? Was it when Mahomes arrived?
No, it was actually before Mahomes. When I realized the guys that I'm playing with and then what we were doing, we got a bye my first year in the league. And, you know, and then the second year we had, the second year Pat came in.
Yep.
And that changed everything because we had the pieces the first year. But Alex Smith had some, some situations. But right. We moved on from that and got Pat. But Pat was throwing no-look passes and all of that in practice when he was a rookie. And, he was on the scout team then. And that's when Bob Sutton was coaching the defense. He was throwing no-look, diamond us on the defense. And I knew he was going to be special then.
So you when he – Patrick Mahomes is the greatest scout team quarterback ever. So he's a kid. He's on the scout team. And you guys are all saying, oh, my God, look at this guy.
1,000%. He was going to be special. I knew it.
Compare Mahomes and Dak just as dudes.
They're a little different. They're a little different. The leadership-wise, they're the same. But the way they play the game is a little different.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Patrick's a little more of an ad-libber.
Yeah, yeah. Not saying Dak isn't. It's just Dak doesn't – he's not right now where Pat is right now.
So you guys, the offense with Kansas City is not a question. The defense this year struggled initially. There were some injuries. And then all of a sudden about week 11, week 12, we started going on the air, and we're like, something's clicking. What was it? Was it just a matter of – you now we're all playing together? Because about week 12, Chris Jones joining us, the defense started clicking. And that's when we all kind of went, that's when Vegas, that's when all the insiders right. Were like, okay, it's all now working. What was going on every week at practice about week 12 with the defense?
What people don't know, since week 5, that's the last time we had everyone healthy on defense. Week 11, we finally got everyone healthy and back on defense. And we was able to mend and
mesh everything,
because we didn't have everybody back. We was playing with backup guys in starting roles, and that was new for them. It was good for them, but it was new. And when you have a rookie and you ask him to take 30 to 40 snaps, it can go two ways. It can go, the good way, he outs excels itself, or it can go the bad way.
Overwhelmed.
He need a little time.
Yeah. So you get hot. You faced, it's interesting, because last year, early in the year, you faced Baltimore, and you gave Lamar Jackson troubles. And then after you gave him a little trouble, he went about 9 weeks and ate the league for lunch, maybe about 11 weeks. So when you faced Lamar the first time, what was it that worked for you guys? Because you were the first team to push back on him and give him trouble last year.
What was it was coming into the game, there was a huge going on fourth down team. And if you look at the game, they went for it on fourth down
four times.
We stopped them twice.
Yep.
And that what changed the whole game right there, because the second time we stopped them, I think we was on their 40-yard line, and we got the ball back, and Mahomes scored. And that kind of changed the game. Got them out of the running game, forced them to be a passer.
There you go. You are going to be franchise tagged. Now, we talk about this all the time. The NFL just asked, the NFL wants a 17-game schedule. You guys are going to fight back and forth. But let's start with the franchise tag. I think it's great for players if you're not a quarterback. If I'm a defensive lineman and you franchise tag me, I get a whole bunch of money for a year. It's obvious Kansas City wants you long term, but they want to do this for a year, get it sorted out, because they know they got to pay Mahomes a zillion dollars. And it's okay if it does. Does it offend you a little bit? Like, well, why can't I get a long term deal?
A little bit. It's like a mix of emotions because you figure, you know, after 4 years, you do everything the right way, within the team way, and you try to stay under the lines, out of trouble, and be a good citizen for the team and for the city. You expect to be rewarded. So, you know, when you hit with a franchise tag, it can go different ways. You can feel like they're not valuing you or they're not valuing what you bring to the table, or you can look at it as giving them time to get their horses in a cage and get something together.
How do you feel today about it?
I'm mixed emotions. I feel a little bit like every team in this league has the opportunity to franchise a good player, and
you're more
I'm
than
the
a
lucky
good
guy. I'm the lucky guy,
Chris. You're the lucky guy. I get it. I mean, I got to be honest with you. If my company franchise tagged me, I'd be like, well, I thought you liked me. I get it.
Yeah. Lucky. It's no hard feelings. It's the business.
Yeah, but there's a little hard. It's okay.
It's a little hard. Yeah. It's a little hard. It's like, damn, what else y'all want me to do? I got to go out and get 30 sacks, 35 sacks to show y'all I can, you know.
I get it, man.
But the beautiful thing about the franchise tag, it can go one or two ways. The team either long-term you and have you for the future, or they're going to trade you. So
I mean, you're going to get paid either way. You
either
know that.
Way. Yeah, either way.
Be nice
I'll
to get paid when
benefits.
You have Mahomes as a quarterback.
Yeah, it would be nice to get paid in Kansas City and stay with Mahomes and what they're building over there, what we're building. It's exceptional. I feel like we're building a dynasty. And for Brett Veach, it's about looking at the team, analyzing what you can lose and what you have to keep.
Right.
So,
to me, you feel like in this league, it's funny. Chris Jones joining us. Chris, I always feel like there's four things you got to have in this league. Now, you obviously have to have a good coach and a good GM. You got to get the quarterback. You have to have a left tackle. You got to protect him.
Got to.
Okay. You got to have an elite defensive lineman. You got to be able to. You force people to double team. You have to have. The fourth position's interesting. I used to think it was a corner. I'm starting to think now the way the rules are, it's got to be a receiver. And I never thought that my whole life. Quarterback, left tackle, dominant defensive lineman, weapon on the outside. That's how it – and you got – so to me, you're a cornerstone guy. I can live with a good Sam linebacker. I don't need a world beater. I can live with good safeties. I don't have to have Ed Reed. But okay. Do you feel like I'm a cornerstone guy?
I do. You actually watch my stats over the last 4 years. I feel like I've gotten better and better for this defense, and I feel like I've positioned myself in a position to be a cornerstone guy.
Let's talk about the NFL's come out and said, listen, 17 games. Now, obviously, you can negotiate. You guys can take off preseason games. Maybe you get a second bye. Maybe you get more insurance when you retire. What is your gut feeling on, Chris, just one more game? What's your gut feeling on that?
No. No. Please, no. Listen, I looked at the CBA agreement, and they got some good stuff in there, especially with the scout team guys getting up to 10,000, you know, that's a huge jump from 3,500 to 10,000. That's life changing.
A month?
A week.
Oh, a week?
Yeah.
A scout guy gets 40,000 a month?
Well, a practice squad guy.
Okay, practice squad guy.
Yes. So that's a huge jump. But 17 games and taking away a bye for the second seed, I don't like that. Because those byes are important. You know, around week 15, it get crucial. You started feeling everything.
You
run,
did?
Your knees, your elbows. You start feeling everything from week one. So that bye is critical. Unless they're going to give us two byes in the season, then it's okay.
So that's interesting because I thought about this morning. If they said, okay, I'll be the league, you're the player. We're going to do this right now, live.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Chris, we'll give you a second bye, one fewer preseason game, and 10-year insurance once you retire.
Okay, I can't agree to that because I got to go on the workload within a week and the workload on training camp. How will they adjust to the workload?
Okay, well, what would you like, Chris?
Well, if it was up to me and I was the president of the NFL, I am actually I'm taking away padded practice to five practices.
And there's only 14 now.
Yeah, just five.
All year?
for training camp.
So five only five camp. Padded practices for training camp.
1,000%.
Boy, that's a cream puff league. That's not much physicality.
I know. You're going to give us 17 games, then, you know, the physical part, you got to take something away. To get something, you got to take something away. And I say take away the padded practices.
That was a very tough negotiation right there.
Yeah, you know.
So you just, your whole thing is, listen, man, I want to play for a while. I don't want to get hit in practice.
Yeah, so you telling me for 17 weeks I'm going to get beat up in practice and still add another game? At least give me another bye week, take more padded practices away, take more time away from the facility on our days off. Training camp, they give you a 24-hour grace period. This within the 24 hours, you still have a curfew. I say take away the curfew, give us 2 days off, take away the padded practice, and et cetera, make a few more adjustments. And
what do you think this is, the NBA?
Might as well. Y'all got to put the players first, man. You know what I mean?
No, I get it, Chris. All right. You went to the combine. You had a little malfunction stuff, you know, whatever. Not a great moment, right, for you?
It was great. I actually was telling somebody 2 days ago, I would have rather that happen to me than anyone else. So I feel like I was the chosen for that. You know,
you had a uniform malfunction during the combine.
Correct.
And it just you were okay with it.
1,000%. It was perfect. It was perfect for not only for me but for the combine. I got a lot of great deals out of that.
By the way, were you nervous during you were a great college player at Mississippi State. You're a great recruit. You're a five-star recruit. Is it kind of unnerving? I mean, you walk out there and it's just stare, poke, prod, ask.
You know what? It is nervous. I mean, your nerves are everywhere. You're trying to try to keep yourself calm, and you have so much talent across from you, and you see all these guys running fast, and then you're putting pressure on yourself to excel in whatever you do, and, you know, it can be challenging.
Have you stopped celebrating yet?
I kind of slowed down. I haven't stopped. You know, winners don't take days off, man.
That's right.
You can't get this feeling back. You know, you look at a guy like Terrell Suggs who haven't been to the Super Bowl in 8 to 10 years. You know, I was talking to him about it, and it's tough to get there. It's tough to get there, and especially tough to get it. You know, and we finally got it. I got it in 4 years, man.
Isn't that great?
You would have told me 4 years ago, listen, you're going to be a Super Bowl champion. I would have laughed at you. But, you know, now it's reality.
Look at you. Good life for you.
Great life.
It is a great life, right?
Yeah.
Just not as great as if you have a 17th week.
I agree with you on that.
It's nice meeting you. You're welcome on the couch or chairs anytime. Absolute pleasure meeting you.
Oh, they're very comfortable, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I love Andy Reid. Is he the best or what?
He is. He is. We done had our personal shout outs to each other, but it's been fun.
Yeah, he's good. You know, he was he played a little football. I think he was an offensive lineman.
He was a kicker too. Have you seen the video? He's like 7 foot tall with some babies out there.
That's his pump, pass, and kick. He's a giant.
He's a large human being.
He is. And you're a large, talented, and very wealthy, as they franchise tag you, human being, Chris. Congratulations on all your success.
Appreciate it, Colin.